Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knock-O-Nation podcast show. Oh, Knock-O-Nation podcast show.
Hey, it's another episode of the Knock-O-Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT. My mustache is my most remarkable feature, Holton, and Josh Rhubarb Brown. Come on down.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Hello. Thank you.
Hello. Hi, JT.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're good. I think we need to take a moment of silence and honor the late, great Charlie Daniels.
Oh, man.
Sad to see him go.
Terrible news.
Charlie was not only a pretty decent fiddle player, he also was a Southern rock aficionado. An important pillar of Southern rock that I think most people don't recognize.
Like, he could shred
a lot of people think of him
Paul.
As country.
Correct.
Yeah. A lot of people think of him as a country singer, and while that is certainly true, there was definitely a lot of Southern rock there.
The Charlie Daniels Band is top three jam bands of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, CDB's greatest hits stayed in my truck a long, long time.
I will be a little cautious here in how I say this, because I have no intent of belittling the man's name, but fiddle playing was not his strong suit. He was good, no doubt.
That actually is correct. That is true. The devil went down to Georgia to the layman. Maybe
it seems cool, yeah,
but it is not. It's basic fiddle chops. He was a fun fiddle player, known for the fiddle, obviously, but he was a better guitar player. Yeah,
yeah. Yep. Now that being said, the devil went back down to Georgia. If you've ever heard it, is
the one he redid with Travis Tritt? Travis Tritt was in that.
No. Charlie Daniels.
Travis Tritt was in the video. That's what it was. Yes.
I don't think he.
Hold on.
Charlie
I'm gonna
Daniels
Google
had anything
this.
To do with the second one, did he?
There was.
I've heard it from a bluegrass band, and they were phenomenal. That's all I know. Basically, he goes back down to meet the devil, and the devil kicks his butt this time because the devil's been practicing and he hasn't. And Johnny works and works and works, and he breaks out an actual really difficult fiddle riff, and that's really good.
I was really close to opening up for him once, but I didn't do
really.
It. Yeah. So when I was semi-serious with music for a while there, when I lived in Birmingham, I did it for like 5
years.
That's
when you were dating superstars, right?
Yeah, kind of. So for 5 years in a row, I every year WSM, which is the cornerstone of country music in Nashville, home of the Grand Ole Opry. Every year, they might still do this. They did a songwriting competition. It was every year. It was always like in July maybe, and it was always at Tootsie's. And it was like 3 rounds, and so it entailed me driving from Birmingham to Nashville like three weekends in a row. Well, one year, I got second place. I made it to the finals. It was me and this guy. I forget his name. He was from Canada, and he was incredible. He just destroyed me. But I had a chance. And the winner, every year, the winner of that competition opens up for whoever the headline artist is that summer at the Lebanon County Fair. And that summer, it was Charlie Daniels. This might have been 2010, 2011 or something. And so, it was me and this guy. I mean, I made it to the finals, passed everybody, and this one guy just destroyed me. But, yeah. I was like, oh, man. I was so close.
I found the video.
The video of
Here's the Devil Comes Back to Georgia, 1993, featuring Johnny Cash, Marty Stewart, and Travis Tritt. If I remember correctly, Travis Tritt plays the devil in the music video, so...
I don't remember that. I'm sure I've seen it.
I don't either.
I vaguely remembered it. Like, it's just one of those things lost in my brain somewhere.
Interesting. I didn't even know Charlie Daniels had anything to do with the second verse of that song. I just thought this bluegrass band had written it.
So my mom met Charlie Daniels. I called my mom today, and she picks up the phone. She says, well, I guess the South's not going to do it again. And I was like, oh, Mom, that's why I was calling her, to tell her Charlie Daniels died, because she met him at a golf tournament, and she was there with Philip Fulmer, and Charlie, it was the Pat Summit Invitational to raise money for the Alzheimer's Foundation. And she said that Charlie Daniels had, before everything, the bunch of fans there to see Charlie Daniels, he would do a concert after the golf tournament, just him sitting down with a guitar in a very select group, probably about 300 people. Well, he goes around these tents, and they have all these tents set up for different armed services. Army's got one, Navy, everything. And he goes around shaking everybody's hand before he's met any of the fans, shaking hands and everything, thanking them for their service. And she asked Coach Fulmer, she said, does he always do this? And he said that they're the only reason they're here is because of him. He asked to make sure they all come to this, and he does this every time. He said Philip Fulmer said there's no one loves this country and cares more about America than Charlie Daniels does. He said, I've never known a greater patriot in this country than Charlie Daniels.
And that's what he tweets about. And that's a lot of the, because as the left has lost their minds the last several years, like, I've seen people tweet mean things about him, and he's always just tweeting about America and the Lord. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I saw people today saying that he was racist.
Pretty simple.
I'm like, what?
People are the worst, man.
Yeah. No, not really. No. These people take that extra leap. If you like God and America, then they just assume you also have read Mein Kampf.
South. Yeah.
Yeah. And the South's going to do it again is basically, it's about Southern rock.
They don't even know what Mein Kampf is. They have no idea what racist. That is.
I always thought that because of the wording of the song, I always thought being that my name was John, I thought he was saying, my name is Johnny and it might be a sin. And I was like, what's wrong with my name? Like, why would they name me that if that's a sin? And it took a shockingly long time before I put two and two together. Oh, he meant like betting. He meant gambling. Oh, okay.
I can see why JT would have a hard time believing that gambling might be a sin. I mean,
yeah, that's ridiculous. That's not that's crazy.
That's not possible for JT to fathom. Like, that's crazy talk. It's got to be the name that he's upset about, not the gambling.
But Charlie Daniels has so many good songs. Everybody says "Devil Went Down to Georgia," which is great. Everybody loves that song. But man, just his greatest hits. There's so many good tunes on it. Uneasy Rider, the Stroker Ace theme song. There's so many good songs on there, man. I love the Legend of Woolly Swamp. It's one of my favorite. Long-haired Country Boy's great.
Oh, well, Legend of Woolly Swamp, so good. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's so awesome, so cool. But just,
I like the South's gonna do it again.
That's a banger.
I love the guitar riff in that song, man.
I love it. And when I was about sophomore in high school, I kind of embraced my inner redneck, you know, because when you're from Georgia, you don't appreciate it. Uh-huh. When you move elsewhere, like at that time, I was living in Florida, and everybody thought I was a redneck, and I was like, I don't
that's
think I'm
me
a redneck.
Now.
But then I just
I
stood
moved
out
to like Liberalville.
You moved to Boone, moved to and now you stand out.
And they banned the flag at NASCAR. I've never even liked the flag, and now I'm like, I kind of love the Confederacy, and I miss Georgia.
You start to embrace it. So I worked at
Heritage,
I worked
not
at the
hate.
Mall. This is how redneck I was. I worked at the mall, and I cashed my check and went down to FYE, and I think I was like, you know what, I'm going to embrace this redneck stuff, and I bought Charlie Daniels Band's Greatest Hits, Fly by the Dixie Chicks, and one other CD I can't remember.
No, and, it's just the chicks now, JT.
Just the chicks. The
yeah,
chicks.
Just the chicks.
And I just remember falling in love with that Charlie Daniels CD. And because I bought it, I knew The Devil Went Down to Georgia. There's like 9 other songs on it. I had no idea what they were. The whole CD is just freaking awesome. And he's a dude. He was a legend. No doubt, man. Charlie Daniels sucks. He's gone. But
oh, I was wondering where that sentence was going. Charlie was Daniels, like, just a legend. Charlie Daniels sucks. I was like, wait, what?
That's what gone. The devil said. Charlie Daniels sucks. That's what the devil will be saying.
I think there's a lot of people that thought they were saved because they thought they could fiddle better than the devil.
If it ever comes down to it, I can fiddle my way out of hell. Yeah. I'm a false prophet right there.
Yeah.
Man, but Uneasy Rider, probably my favorite.
I probably try to get that gold fiddle. I got to be honest.
Uneasy Rider would be probably my favorite Charlie Daniels tune, be Uneasy Rider. You guys got a favorite?
Okay.
Mine's South's going to do it again.
Yeah, Josh said that. Yeah. I don't know that I got a favorite. It's hard for me to think
of. And maybe you should. Maybe it's silly for me to. When I think of the Charlie Daniels band, I think of Southern, kind of Southern rock, mm-hmm. Southern jam band.
Yeah.
And I would put them past Marshall Tucker Band. You can't really compare them with the Allman Brothers. Allman Brothers is different. Different
kind of Southern rock. Yeah, different and different kinds.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if I can compare them with any other. You can't compare them with Molly Hatchet at all.
No.
You can't really comp them to Lynyrd Skynyrd, because to me, Lynyrd Skynyrd, I'm a fangirl of Lynyrd Skynyrd, but like to me, Lynyrd Skynyrd had so many good songs. And like, I mean, album upon album upon album. Charlie Daniels, not as much. And that's right. No fault of Charlie, but Charlie did the CBD thing, or the CDB thing. CD, yeah. I can do this, CDB thing. And then and then branched out as a solo artist, right?
Right.
So he didn't have, that band didn't have the opportunity to have all of the albums that like Lynyrd Skynyrd did, I guess.
Tell me this, is, like, serious question here, and don't just shout no at me to begin with, okay? Is Charlie Daniels, I don't know if he was as mainstream popular as this band, but is, and my mind's totally blanking here, Toes in the Water.
Oh, Zach Brown Band.
Zach Brown Band. Is Charlie Daniels and the Zach Brown Band kind of comparable as to who they are?
Before Zach Brown jam went bands. Weird, yeah. They have fiddle.
Musically? Musically or what? What do you mean? Musically?
I'm not saying their music's alike. That's not really what I'm saying. But I do think they follow a similar footprint in being... They're both jam bands that are really good jam bands that are kind of Southern rock. Obviously different styles of Southern rock, but there's that element there. Like, I feel like they've kind of followed similar trajectories.
I think
one's just a lot more modern than the other, you know.
I think you could maybe say that. Let's say that Zach Brown Band had an era where all their songs were kind of like cut from the same cloth as Chicken Fried, but they didn't really have that. Even that album, it was to me. Charlie Daniels was like the everyman redneck, and Zach Brown Band was never that. Even though they're different eras,
I'm not saying their brand is exactly the same. I'm just saying like their trajectories as a band are similar. Like they kind of. Early on, real popular,
yeah.
A lot of stuff. Then the individualist. Then really didn't start out as a jam band, but kind of evolved into that.
And I see what you're saying.
That's kind of what I mean.
Because if you listen to The Foundation, Zach Brown's first album, it's not Jason Aldean. It's not Luke Bryan.
No.
Like, it's different from that. It's closer to a Charlie Daniels type album than anything else. Now, mm-hmm. Where they've gone since then, they've kind
of... Well, they played Devil Went Down to Georgia 2009.
Yeah. Yeah, they got it on the...
was like one... Dude, that was like one of the best performances ever.
On the extended version of their first album, they have a live recording of Devil Went Down to Georgia on there. And I think they would definitely, if that was all you got of Zach Brown, you'd say, oh man, these guys are going to be, you know, kind of following in the footsteps. Now they've kind of followed in the footsteps of Jimmy Buffett, and then since then followed in the footsteps of like Coldplay for some weird reason.
And Hillsong. Because they suck.
But gay. No, you know who they followed? You know who they followed? And I like it. I'll be the first to tell you I like Zach Brown. I even like his weird stuff. And I know it's weird. But you know who they followed? They saw Mumford & Sons and said,
oh, God.
They have a unique sound. We want to move that direction with kind of who we are. And I feel like they're like Mumford & Sons, and they're trying to
go
go away from country and into folk music.
Not even close. They're new and the... Somebody that I used to know, or what? That big song that I poo pooed on last summer.
I don't even know that song. So
yeah, it was like Coldplay Hillsong. It wasn't anything. It wasn't folky at all. Their new stuff's not folky. They went into a full on like Coldplay pop rock sound. Not even folky.
I mean, Mumford kind of did that too.
Okay. Yeah, Mumford and Sons has gotten kind of more poppy than their original.
Yeah.
First album, they've kind of
treated. Hey, I mean, I'm a.
But you were implying that Zach Brown Band was going into the Mumford and Sons that we know, which is the folk, and that's just not the case, I don't think.
Well, I felt like they moved that way, and then maybe the last album was a little different, but I still feel like they kind of fall in that same. I feel like they moved away from being a country band.
Yeah, that's 100% true. Yeah,
it's kind of like Rascal Flatts. Like Rascal Flatts started out. Trying to be a country band and then move towards being more of a pop band.
Country Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
And Charlie Daniels is not a country group. Country, that's Southern rock. They are Southern rock to the core.
Yeah, yeah.
They are not a...
That's true.
For sure.
And now they're going to have a lot of fans that are country music stars. They're going to be a lot of country music artists that, you know, are indebted to Charlie Daniels and definitely were inspired by Charlie Daniels. But Charlie Daniels is somebody you'd find on a concert bill with Marshall Tucker. Maybe opening for Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Maybe
some Molly Hatchet and 38 Special in there, you know.
If those four bands you just named right there came out today, what would we call them?
Because we couldn't really say Southern rock, could we?
We call them country music.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not trying to argue that. Like, they are. They're Southern rock, like, no doubt. But country music now, musically, it's just it moved away from country and is now rock. Now, I don't know if it's Southern rock, really, but it's, I mean, that's what they're trying to do.
Yep.
At least with any upbeat song, it's all rock. It's just guitar leads and solos and, you know.
Yeah, because you know what? If you took Jason Aldean's stuff, and it wasn't done by Jason Aldean, mm-hmm. and you had Molly Hatchet, a band today with like five dudes in it, and they called themselves a band name, and did the mm-hmm. same songs that Jason Aldean does. We Back and whatever, Just Getting mm-hmm. Started and stuff like that. Dirt Dude, that would be Lynyrd Skynyrd today.
Yeah.
Like, if 100%. You had a guitarist, and the only thing is, the only difference is repackaging. We just see Jason Aldean and a bunch of studio musicians in the back. But if it was branded as in this group of six dudes, there really ain't much difference between Just Getting Started and What's Your Name by Lynyrd Skynyrd, or Give Me Three Steps.
Yeah.
Sonically, there's not a whole lot of difference between those. It's just repackaged totally different.
Josh, have you given up all hope?
No,
but
not at all.
But remember, when in the early 80s or late 70s, mid to late 70s, country music was very stoic, very standard,
right.
very Conway Twitty singing Hello, Darling, not guitars, not drums, and it was very...
Even the stuff that started moving after that, it was still like George Strait.
They didn't do long hair.
Like, you know, no. It was like a lot more. The only long hair you got was like in some of the Outlaws. You know, that was like some Outlaw.
And for anybody saying Charlie Daniels was racist, keep in mind, this man had long hair, sung about smoking dope, and voted for George McGovern.
He was
president.
Old hippie.
Yeah, old hippie. He had peace flags on the mag wheels and four on the floor. He was not... by any stretch, any sort of, you know, racist. He even openly bragged in a time where it was detrimental to his career, openly bragged about having long hair, smoking dope, and being a hippie. So,
yeah,
that's true.
Hey, fellas, I guess we should talk a little baseball. It's a sad day here at Nakoma Nation. Nick Markakis has opted out of the season. I can't say that I blame the man. I don't think Nick Markakis feels like getting paid nothing to go out and play a mockery of baseball. No fans in the stands, no touching, no spitting, no glorious fights, spitting, hitting. He can't whoop John Hart's ass thanks to COVID. I think Nick Markakis is all of us today, and he just stands there and says, I'm sorry, I cannot stand to play this game in anything but its purest form.
Yes. He sacrificed himself today for our freedom, and I just want to give a shout-out to all the Braves beat writers out there who texted me today and asked me how I was doing. I'm doing okay, but... you know, what it all comes down to, I think, is this.
That was just McAlpin. That wasn't all the Braves writers. It was just one.
And Jeff Schultz. What it all comes down to is this.
You dropped something there, Josh.
Hunting season starts on October 17th. And this season's going to go farther than that. And if you want to get down to it, like, I think archery, you can actually hunt via the bow earlier, like in September. So, I think Nick Markakis wants to go hunting, and up until 2 or 3 o'clock today, there wasn't a schedule laid out yet, and I don't think he wants to play in front of no fans because it's super gay.
So, Josh, are you like, telling me out. Nick Markakis is the reason the Braves haven't won in the postseason, that he didn't actually want to play in October?
See, Ken, I feel like you are.
I just heard the words you said, and I asked a question based on them.
I feel like you are twisting my words. You know, I'm.
You didn't say that he didn't want to play in October?
I think you're twisting my words and making me say things that I don't mean. And I don't appreciate that. I don't come on the show to get manipulated like this. I come on the show to share facts and stats, not to get backed into a corner like this.
No. King Felix also opting out on the year.
What a loser. what an absolute pussy.
And Eric Young also opting out, first base coach Eric Young.
Sneaky losers. Eric Young, actually, name is deceiving. He's actually kind of up there in age.
He's like 50
something. JT, yeah. What were your thoughts on this?
Here's my thought. I get what, and I'm not going to, I can't. Because we don't know. You know, he could be like, look, I'm not worried about me, but I don't want to get something I could then give to my 90-year-old grandma or something like that. And that's totally fine. That's respectable. We all have families. We understand that. Like, my daughter has asthma. I understand that. Like, I get that. My question is, Nick said a lot of his had to do with no fans being in the stands, which is fine because it's kind of a good thing to say if you're Nick Markakis, because that helps soften the blow to the fans. Like, oh, he did it for us. That's great. He did it for us because he loves us. At a certain point, dude, I'm getting paid a lot of money to play baseball. Do I not owe it to the Atlanta Braves team to, if we can play and if they're making it safe for me to play, they're the ones signing my paychecks and allowing me to have a nice car and a nice house and a nice lifestyle. Do you think guys say, hey, do I owe it to this franchise to suck it up and play, even if I don't feel comfortable to do it because they allow me to have the lifestyle that I have?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fair question to ask, I think.
The Braves, you know, restructured Nick's contract. Mm-hmm. Felix Hernandez was on a $1 million deal, basically.
Right.
Felix Hernandez net worth $90 million.
Yeah, he's set.
Nick Markakis net worth $40 million.
Still okay.
Set and good. I kind of don't blame these guys. And this is why I don't blame them. If you're looking at a season that's a partial season that people are going to think is a scam anyway, if you're looking at partial play-in time like Nick was going to have, like Felix wasn't even guaranteed that he was going to be a starter, right? I mean, there was no guarantee that he was going to keep that job, right?
Same with Nick.
You're doing checks, welfare checks, every day or every other day. Right, you're having to be tested for COVID constantly. The media manipulation that will take place, no matter what happens, positive, negative, it doesn't matter. It's going to get twisted, right? The inevitability that this season may not even make it through the season. You know, I'm not even sure they're going to play a single game, much less a full season.
Yeah.
I don't blame these guys a bit for saying I'm not going to play. I mean, go home, enjoy your $40 million. Don't waste all this extra work for 1/40th of that, you know, or 1/90th of that in King Felix's case, you know. I don't blame them. I wouldn't either. It's going to be a sham of a season no matter what happens, with question marks all over it. And the fact that a few players have opted out, the more that opt out, the more of a sham it's going to be, you know.
And there really is, I mean, there really is no fans. That, I mean, really, if, and I don't know Cakes' heart. I heard that he did say it sounded like he was concerned when he talked to Freddie. I'm not going to ignore that. I mean, he said that, I think over the weekend he talked to Freddie and he heard in Freddie's voice the seriousness of, I guess Freddie wasn't doing well. You know, I'm probably a terrible person for making too light of it because I feel like he has a fever and he's going to be okay. According to Markakis, that's when he talked to Freddie, he understood the severity of this. And so I don't know how true that is. And then he kind of said, too, that the fans were the reason. And I get that. I get that. I don't know. I mean, it's dumb. It's dumb to have a season with no fans. Yep. It just is.
But I don't think there's no fans. There's no fans in attendance. But I think there's more fans more desperate for Braves baseball than ever before.
I don't care about
more fans.
If you're on the field, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
if you're
but
on
people
the field,
care. People. So that's something a Braves A-lister would say. Oh, you don't go to the game, so you're not really a fan. Oh, Braves A-lister.
Oh God.
Sorry, John and Jeff. What I'm saying is, there's people that have lost their jobs. There's people that are struggling to pay their bills. There's people that are taking massive pay cuts. There's people that have had loved ones sick, and in some cases even die because of this pandemic that's going on. They want a distraction. Just give me 3 hours of nothing but baseball. Give me 3 hours where I can get away from the reality of what this world is right now. Give me 3 hours that's not talking about the new cases, that's not, you know, worried about what my boss is going to do to me in the morning and how I got to do this and that and how am I going to pay rent or mortgage next month.
Yeah, but
there's a lot of fans that need this and they're desperate for something. People that say,
turn
the
TV off and hang out with your family. You know?
Like, oh, but
spend
Kent,
3 hours
on.
With other human beings.
This is America. We don't spend time with our families. We watch sports.
I mean, you're right. But
no, but it's seriously. I mean, look, sports is a big deal. That's why is sports a billion-dollar enterprise? Because it's escapism.
I miss it, too. I miss it, too, and all of that. I guess I don't know, man. I can get NASCAR maybe and golf not having – although, honestly, after watching that tournament – Saturday with you, JT, and Dresden. Me and Dresden watched a lot of golf Saturday.
Yeah, you guys bonded a lot, yeah.
We did. No fans at the golf tournaments, when you notice it, actually is weird. And Ken pointed it out. These guys are hitting like 22 under on the regular right now. Because there's no fans. It's just weird. I don't know. I just think no fans at the games, it's dumb. It's insanely dumb. It's stupid.
No fans at golf, at least you don't really, like, notice it on the television significantly.
Yeah.
But you can tell it with, like, the pressure. There's no roars down the back.
I don't
want to
watch it.
Pressure.
I don't want to watch it. Call me an idiot. I don't care. But I don't want to watch a baseball game with nobody behind home plate. That
you know
is
how
dumb.
Much I watched Korean baseball on ESPN?
Zero.
None.
But you have no
Zero.
Vested interest. You have no vested interest in that. But if this comes down
don't.
To the last.
I still don't.
Yeah,
don't
but
care.
But if this is September and we got a three-game set with the Nationals at home. You're watching.
I don't
you're gonna
give
watch.
A shit.
I'll hold you to
no
that.
Nick
because
Markakis,
if this season
no
goes
fans,
through,
I'm out.
If this season goes through and we are in September and it's coming down and it's going to be tight and we're here in September, we got a three-game home.
Ain't gonna
set
happen,
with the Nationals,
baby.
I will hold you to that you don't care. And
no
when the
high
fives in the playoffs. You don't
no
care.
No spitting. No lineup card exchanges.
No yelling.
A guy hits
cars.
A dinger. No butt slaps around third base. No,
come to my house.
Josh,
I'm going
to
be slapping heinies all over the place, buddy. Come
Josh,
to my house and watch
let's
the game.
Be honest. How different is that from baseball last year?
No high-fiving and no spitting. And no, what are you talking about?
Did you see any umpires getting yelled at? Did you actually watch any lineup card exchanges?
Did he watch any baseball last year?
I didn't see any high. No
did
high-fiving?
Did you see any actual
no spitting?
High-fives? Maybe a little. Maybe you saw a few in the dugout.
Oh, come on.
But Josh didn't watch baseball, so come on.
Don't Baseball's been neutered already, Josh. This is just like the ultimate form of it.
I can't disagree with that. And you're right. I don't watch that much baseball, guys. It's stupid.
I do appreciate the hypocrisy right now, though. I called this, fellas. I told you guys this is what was going
to
happen.
Hey, I saw you tweet this today, and like the woke, you know, Jay Dunnas were trying to dunk on you and disagree.
Yeah,
I'm morons.
I don't care if they try to dunk on me. They got a 240-word meme that they made fun of. Wow. I don't care. But the truth is, we were told by writers that the owners were greedy. And that's why they didn't want to have a season, despite the owners saying that they were afraid that it would be really expensive and that they wouldn't be able to play baseball, right? And I'm not absolving the owners of guilt here. They certainly have a share. But then all the baseball writers told us that owners were greedy and that was why we weren't having baseball. Then players told us when and where. Tell us when and where. Well, like, with a caveat of still pay us a bunch of money. But when and where and we'll play baseball, right? Mm-hmm. And now they're trying to do it. Testing is going on, and it's got some hiccups and some difficulties. Imagine that. Testing 3,200 people every 2 days that are moving all over the country is a little bit problematic. Is anybody surprised by that? Apparently so, because now the writers are writing, how did anyone think we could actually have baseball during a pandemic? Know what? The owners don't care about players. They're just greedy. And I'm like, I think they tried to tell you that this was going to be a problem, but you demanded that they have baseball.
Yep.
Who's the greedy ones here? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, look, a couple people are going to test positive, but that's why you have these guys in camp. So that way, if they get coronavirus, they can then go back to the hotel or wherever, quarantine for a week, 2 weeks, or whatever it is, not go infect their families, not go infect their grandma, and then come back and play.
I mean, I appreciate it.
That's part of the deal.
I cracked up. Okay, Freddie Freeman's wife posts a post from Freddie's account on Instagram, I believe it was, and it says, Freddie has tested positive for COVID-19. He's had some symptoms. He's been sick. He's got a fever, this kind of thing. Says, we did everything we could. We wore masks. We stayed at home. Freddie hasn't been out of the house in the last 3 months. He hasn't been to the grocery stores. We've had no things, and yet Freddie still got it. And the irony of that strikes me as hilarious.
Yeah.
That you followed all the protocols. You did everything you possibly could. You wore the mask. You practiced all the social distancing, and you still got it. Interesting.
It's almost like we should live our lives per usual, and if you get it, you get it, and shut the damn news networks off.
Wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
If you're going to be close to a bunch of people in a weird way, put a mask on, you know?
Have a summer. Do what the hell you want to. Don't be stupid, you know?
Yeah.
If you're old, take some precautions, but live your life.
If you're going to be around old people, take precautions. Yeah. I mean, you know, 90% of this, you know, they talk about wearing masks, but you know the number one way we could cut down on the spread of this? Wash your dang hands. Wash your hands. It's that simple. Wash your hands. If you're going to eat food, wash your hands. Right? Like, we've been knowing this for forever. Wash your hands. It's not hard. Anyway, fellas, are you ready for Name That Baseball Player?
Oh, gosh. Oh, wow.
That's my favorite time of the day.
Yeah. Fellas, this was a lot of fun last week. I thought we'd do it again. We're going to take a trip through the annals of Braves history.
Annals. Good job.
I like how JT always smiles at me when I say it correctly. And we're going to see if you can name that player. We're going to add a few more rules to it this week, fellas, just to make it a little more challenging so JT doesn't randomly and sporadically just bark out the answers.
These are random. I pay attention and I can deduce from what you've given me.
Okay.
I have an encyclopedic knowledge of the Atlanta Braves. And yeah.
Okay, so the first player, Josh, you're going to go first, and we're going to bounce it back and forth. What you'll be able to do is, Josh, you'll be able to answer ask a question and then give an answer. JT, you'll be able to ask a question and give an answer. If you have not gotten it by that point, I will give a hint. I will be probably pretty obscure with said hint, but it will be a hint nonetheless, okay? And then we will continue the round as it was. Make sense?
Makes sense.
Are our listeners prepared? Okay, would you like an easy one or a hard one to start things off, fellas?
Give us an easy one first.
Okay. Here we go. This former Atlanta Brave was a first round selection. He has appeared on a television show. It's very popular.
Okay.
Fire away. And remember, our rules are, I do not pick Braves, at least at this point. I don't pick Braves before 1990, okay? Uh-huh. We may expand that at some point as this game goes on. But for now, 1990 until present. And I try not to pick someone that only played, like, two games, okay? Like, I could, but I'm not going to be that person, right? They'll have played at least enough for you to have a reason to know them.
It was a first-round draft pick, is that what you said?
He was, yes. He was a first-round draft pick.
Josh, he was on a TV show.
He has been on a TV show, correct?
He has been on a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Was the TV show Seinfeld?
No, it was not.
Keith Hernandez was not brave.
All right, my answer, and now I have to answer or take a guess?
Oh, you can take a guess
if you
like.
You can have to take a guess.
You could pass if you don't have a clue. I mean, you don't have to guess.
But I want to at least guess if I have a turn right now.
Okay.
I don't want to waste this opportunity.
Make your guess if you would like.
David Justice.
Incorrect. JT.
Was this a pitcher?
It was not.
First round pick, Bill and TV show, not David mm-hmm. Justice, not a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That's weird.
Right? Color me intrigued.
Yeah, right? I was trying to think of a TV show. Was it Chipper Jones?
It was not Chipper Jones. Okay. This person was once elected to the WBC and was the first person to hit a home run that year in the World Baseball Classic.
Oh. The WBC started, I think, in like 06, 07-ish, maybe? Something like that? So that would have been...
And a reminder to all of our fans out there listening, no looking this up on Google, no cheating. Don't be cheating and looking things up. Take your guesses. See if you can beat the boys.
Was this a first baseman?
It was, correct.
Wow.
Huh. Who was the very first baseman? Was it?
Hold on.
Yeah, right?
I like this. I like it when JT's going, yeah. What?
So, Braves first baseman during that era.
JT thinks he's got it. Don't.
Was it Mark Teixeira?
It was not Mark Teixeira. Incorrect.
Damn.
Incorrect. JT, your question.
You said it was a first round pick.
He was, correct.
Was he a first round pick of the Atlanta Braves?
He was not. He was not a first round pick of the Atlanta Braves.
Was it Casey Kochman?
It was not Casey Kochman. Incorrect.
You mean Casey Clutchman?
Yeah. As he's known in some places, I guess.
This person is a 3-time Gold Glover.
3-time Gold Glover, first round pick, first baseman. Hit the first dinger in the World Baseball Classic?
Yep.
Is it Derek Lee?
It is Derek Lee, Josh.
Wow, Derek Lee! Way to totally forget about Derek Lee.
Derek there Lee, you go. 1997 was his debut in baseball, and he. Do you know Derek Lee won a batting title in his career?
Wow, really?
I had no idea.
Yeah, for Chicago Cubs.
Yeah,
he batted .356. I'm sorry, that's wrong. I'm looking at the wrong thing. Derek Lee batted. Let's see what it was. He batted. .335 one season. Yes, that was the 2005 season.
Wow, Derek Lee.
Yes, he played for.
I bet
Atlanta.
Him and McGriff would have been teammates because I think McGriff played for the Cubbies in like 04 or 03.
Very possible. He played. He played for Atlanta in 2010, and he batted .287.
Yep,
and .384, .465. Yeah, he played 39 games and went to the postseason with Atlanta.
Yeah. Wow. All
right, that was the easy one, fellas. And the TV show that he appeared in was he appeared in an episode of ER at one point.
Oh, okay, really? There you go.
He did. Huh. His daughter has a genetic condition that causes blindness, and as part of the deal, ER did a special talking about the blindness, like that was an episode thing to make it more awareness, bring more awareness to the United States. And as part of them doing that, he appeared on the show in a different episode. So, interesting thing.
Wow.
Interesting. All right. Are you ready?
Very cool.
Johnny Venters once appeared on ER as a 3-time Tommy John patient.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, most people don't know that.
I did not know that.
JT, please stop.
He's lying. All right, fellas. These next two, I consider them more difficult, but they may not be. So we will see. You guys are Braves experts, so it's
so I get to be the first. I get the do I get the first pick here since he
you do get the first pick here since he got the last one. This former Atlanta Brave played for 11 different teams in his career.
That's my hint.
That's the first hint.
Is it Reggie Sanders?
It is not Reggie Sanders.
I just knew he played for a lot of teams. That's why I went
Josh Brown, fire away.
And this is post 1990.
Yes, post 1990.
11 teams. Oh my gosh. 11 different teams.
Mm-hmm.
Was this player a pitcher?
He was. He was a pitcher.
Was it Paul Mahalem?
It was not Paul Mahalem.
Okay.
Incorrect.
Did this pitcher have six fingers on one hand?
Not that I'm aware of. I could be incorrect, but...
Is it Antonio Alfonseca?
It is not Antonio Alfonseca.
I just remember he had like a weird pinky on one.
I do vaguely remember that, yes. I like how JT's just blowing his questions with random stuff.
I mean, I don't know.
Okay, my turn. Let me give you a hint here. I did not give an additional hint that time. His career spanned more than 20 years in Major League Baseball.
Wow. Impressive.
Alejandro Pena.
It was not Alejandro.
You have a question you can
Pena.
Ask.
Josh
you
know. Didn't even ask a question. That's a way to waste time.
Starter or reliever?
This pitcher was a starter.
20-year starter. 11 teams? Was it Dennis Martinez?
It was not Dennis Martinez.
So 11 now, teams is a lot.
I say he was a starter. He was for part of his career.
Part, yeah.
So, yeah.
But in the garbage years. Yeah.
Was he a starter when he was with the Braves, was he a starter or was he a reliever?
With the Atlanta Braves,
what's he known
it appears
for
he was a starter. It appears he was a starter, as best I can tell. I do not personally remember completely. Looking more detailed here.
Hang on.
He probably was a reliever with Atlanta for part of that time.
For part of that time, but mainly a starter?
I'm trying to look here.
With the Braves?
No, he was, he served as a starter for part of his time with Atlanta, yes.
For part of his time?
Mm-hmm.
Was he a lefty or a righty?
Would you quit asking questions?
He just continues to ask questions without
guessing.
Stop,
you get a question.
Oh.
Was he a part of the 1995 World Series team?
He was not a part of the 1995 World Series team.
11 teams over 20 years.
Yep.
That's a lot. And that means he wasn't that good. He was good enough to keep a job, but to have 11 different teams, like...
Here's another hint for you. He was a one-time All-Star.
Yeah. Did this player ever play for the New York Mets?
Probably. Play for the New York Mets? I gotta look here. Hang on one second. He did not play for the New York Mets.
All right. Well, that rules out Buddy Carlisle.
I was thinking Jesse Orozco might have played for the... Oh, my goodness.
Damn it, Kenny. Did this player have a pickoff move?
Not that I'm aware of.
Didn't every pitcher have a pickoff move?
Yeah. Well, I mean, was he known for a pickoff move? So it's
not
Charlie Liebrandt.
No, it's not Charlie Liebrandt. Okay. All right. This player was a first round pick. Would you, in 1984,
okay.
Was it Derek Lilliquist?
It was not Derek Lilliquist.
I don't know. So,
okay.
Geez, Josh.
1984.
The rounds are counting down. I'm only going to give you three more rounds.
What's the first team he played for? His rookie season.
It's yes or no questions, Josh. It's 20 questions. You know how to play this?
His rookie season was with the San Francisco Giants.
I know it.
Joshua, do you have a guess?
I might know it.
Hang on. Brad Klontz?
Incorrect. JT, would you like to take a guess?
Do me and him share a first name?
You do not.
Oh, do you know my first name?
I'm assuming it's John Thomas. I'm not sure. but he doesn't have either of those names.
Well, dang it. That's not the guy I thought. I was thinking it was John Burkett because I remember him playing for the Giants.
Let me put it this way. Okay, another hint for you guys. Here we go. Okay.
This
player
hard, my Lord.
Had his best years playing for the Phillies.
All right,
this is a good
real.
One. I'm enjoying this one. This is a
this
good
is
one.
Good. This is good. This
best
guy's both
years
like
with the Phillies.
Best years of 20 years.
This is a guy you guys don't remember being a Brave, is what it comes down to. You don't
probably
even
not.
Remember he
I mean,
was a Brave.
It's definitely a possibility.
Well, it's obviously not Kershaw. It's not Mitch Williams. No. It's
Josh just randomly it's, guessing. Okay, JT, your turn.
Cliff
Josh
Lee,
just guessed twice.
Years of the Phillies. Greg Swindell. I've got no idea.
Okay, let me give you another hint. There is a famous movie about Hollywood that has this person's name in the title.
Somebody somewhere is listening to this and like banging their steering wheel. Like
probably
idiots.
So.
Yeah.
This
is so obvious. A movie about Hollywood.
I think it's about Hollywood. For sure it is. I might be wrong, but I think
so,
it is.
But his name is in a movie title.
Yes, name is in a movie title. At least his last name is. And it's unique. Like, it's not like the. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's something that stands out. Sure. Yeah.
Dude, I have no idea.
I know it.
JT.
Can I just guess?
You can guess.
Is it Terry Mulholland?
It is Terry Mulholland, JT.
Oh,
racking it
Terry
up.
Terry Mulholland. Okay, I didn't know he pitched 20 years in that 11
20
teams.
Years. He had a 1.36 career whip with a 4.6 ERA, I believe it was.
Mulholland Drive is about Hollywood.
4.41 ERA. Yeah, actually, he was worth 11.2 WAR. Not bad over a 20-year career to be average.
You got to be good to play 20 years. I mean, you
can't. I mean, at least
in 90, I think in 99, the Marlins, I think, still have this franchise record of most runs in a game. They beat the Braves 20-1. I think it was 20-1. Mm-hmm. It was something insane. And it was 99, and I think he started that game. No. I forgot.
That
would have
been 2000 if he did that. He had a good year with the Braves in 99. He had a terrible year in 2000.
Yeah, somebody started the game. Bobby Cox didn't bring out. Well, no, it wasn't the Marlins. It was the Mets. Braves playing the Mets. It was like 20-1 or something like that.
All right, are you ready for the last one, fellas?
Mulholland was used in relief or something.
He definitely started and was relief at different points in his career.
Former Atlanta Brave had a 9-year career. He batted in which 1 year he batted .323 and had no errors.
Joshy.
One of the years with Atlanta. I'll be specific about that.
9-year career with Atlanta or 9 years?
No, not 9 year. 9 year total.
Okay. Mike Devereaux.
Incorrect. JT.
You can ask a question.
Sorry.
He did.
Was this an infielder?
It was an infielder. That is correct.
Is it Keith Lockhart?
It is not Keith Lockhart.
Oh, dang it.
I just know JT's going to guess Keith Lockhart. So
yeah, of course I am, man.
Right. I'm never going to make it that simple. Okay, this Major League Baseball player only has one playoff appearance in his career, and it was with the Atlanta Braves.
Was this player a second baseman?
It was not.
Okay.
I'm double checking that to make sure I'm right, but I don't think he was.
9-year career.
He might have. Let me see what position he played in Atlanta.
What'd you say about postseason?
No, he really didn't. He did play a game or two in Atlanta at second base, but that was not his primary position. So.
One playoff appearance, he was an infielder. Shortstop. Wouldn't be Edgar Renneria because he had multiple playoff appearances.
All right, JT.
That wasn't a guess.
It sounded like one.
That wasn't a guess.
It's like a passive aggressive guess.
Oh, Alex Gonzalez.
Incorrect.
Damn it.
You are up, JT.
Yeah, Arkansas won a World Series. Pretty sure.
Who looked more like a turtle, Alex Gonzalez or Edgar Renteria?
Edgar Renteria.
How did Edgar Renteria not open up a brothel called Edgar's Renterier? Anywho, was this player...
Or, or maybe he could have like diarrhea medicine.
Edgar's...
Renteria. Just saying. Anyway, continuing.
Was this player primarily a shortstop?
For the Atlanta Braves, this player, let me double check. Right. I don't want to tell you incorrectly. Ooh, I might have told you incorrectly earlier. Let me scroll down here.
Oh, makes it harder when you lie to us, Ken.
It does make it harder. Mm. Let's see here. No. He was not primarily a shortstop or a second base.
Oh my God, I know who it is.
Don't.
Hurry up, JT. I know who it is.
But you don't though. You don't know who it is. Holy shit! I've got
ask
no
a question.
Clue.
You did ask a question.
That's right. Ask a question. I'm just trying to throw out a guess, but I'm trying to make it an educated guess. And is it Vinny Castilla?
It is not. Josh Brown.
Damn it! That was my guess. is the last name of this player also another name for a penis?
No. Not that I know of.
All right, so not that I know of. All right, so it's not Chris Johnson.
No, definitely not.
That wasn't a guess.
That was your question.
I referred to my penis as a Pendleton.
That was your question, I guess.
Okay.
After Josh, I'll give another hint here.
I have no idea. Andres Galarraga? No.
Not Andres Galarraga. This former Atlanta Brave has an advanced baseball metric stat named after him.
What? What are you even talking about?
You heard me.
You're talking a bunch of bullshit.
I am not lying. I am not lying.
You're making a mockery of me and JT's baseball intellect right now.
It's not my fault that you don't know the answer, Josh.
Is it Jim Phipp?
It is not.
No, I'm just kidding. That's not a real person. Okay, so
I was like, I don't know who that is, but it's not. That ain't him.
I don't know. Let's see. Was he primarily a third baseman?
He was, yes.
Your last thing threw me off about advanced metrics. Is Ken Caminiti?
Nope. This former Atlanta third baseman, played in the postseason with Atlanta.
But only once.
And nearly won a World Series.
But only once.
It's not Ken Caminiti. It's not Vinny Castilla. It's obviously not Chipper. It's not Chris Johnson. But it's a third baseman?
They did not play in the World Series, but they did make a run all the way to the NLCS. Let me just clarify. I don't want that to be a misleader there.
Okay. Wait a minute. Are you trying to trick us here?
It's kind of the name of the game, isn't it?
Was his main position third base?
Yes.
Oh. So it's not Freddie Freeman.
No, it's not Freddie Freeman. Someone out there like Braves Ninja right now is laughing at you guys hysterically because he knows. Brave Stats probably knows. Of course, Brave Stats knows like every player after like two guesses, but I'm just two hints, but still.
He didn't know that Babe Ruth was a third base coach for the Brooklyn Dodgers after he retired.
I saw that. I bet Robbie, if my father-in-law is listening, I bet he knows.
Post-1990?
Yes, post-1990.
Oh my God! I think you've stumped. Has he stumped us?
Are you throwing in not the yet. Towel? Oh, okay.
Are you Googling things, JT? What are you doing?
I wish I was. I would have had it by now.
Nine seasons.
You gotta ask a question.
Nine seasons.
This former Atlanta Braver.
Martin Prado!
Is not Martin Prado.
Son of a bitch. He played everything. He was.
He broke into the majors with the Kansas City Royals. He has also played for the New York Mets.
Almost won a World Series. Third base. Went to the NLCS.
Mm-hmm. He had a career batting average of .249.
Not great.
And he hit 22 home runs in his 9-year career.
That's not good at all.
But he was worth 9.1 more.
Good, got good glove. Hence the no errors. Okay. Mm-hmm. My goodness. Was he a member of the 2001 Atlanta Braves?
No, he was not.
Was he a member of the 2014 Atlanta Braves?
No, he was not.
I feel like this is one of
this, this member one of the 1993 and 1994 Atlanta Braves.
Oh wow!
Can you play is it Mike Mordecai? Team?
It is not Mike Mordecai.
I'm going to throw out a guess for Mike Mordecai every week.
Well, wasn't TP the third baseman then?
Primarily, yeah. Kipper was still a shortstop back.
Yeah. Not really.
This well, player played in 65 games in 19. I'm sorry, he played in 72 games in 1993, and he played in 64 games in 1994.
Okay.
That's enough games that I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
While it's insignificant role, you should have known him, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, 93, 94 Braves.
Time is winding down, fellas. This episode must come to an end. And I've given you about every guess possible, every hint that they're possible.
Mike Devereaux was an outfielder.
I literally gave you a hint of what his last name was. So,
what was it? What was the last name? What?
That is a metric stat named after him.
That's right.
Three.
Is it Chris Sabo?
No. Two.
Sabo metrics?
One.
He played third base.
I have finally stumped the chumps. It is the first time ever I have stumped
the
chumps.
It's going to hurt. What is it?
With Bill Pakoda.
Bill Pakoda?
Bill Pakoda.
That's not an advanced. Yeah. First off, that's not an advanced.
Barely.
What is
an
advanced metric?
Pakoda is like some.
Pakoda.
Stop.
It is a well-known advanced metric devised by Nate Silver.
Mm-hmm. The guy who predicts elections.
Player empirical comparison and optimization test algorithm. A sabermetric system devised for forecasting
that's
Major League
the
Baseball
nerdiest
player performance.
PECOTA stands for Professional Evaluations Come Out Their Ass. That's what PECOTA stands for.
That was what I
something like that.
That was nice off the top of your head there, JT. I appreciate that.
Well, I got nothing else holding it back, so.
Bill PECOTA, I beat you.
Bill
for the first
PECOTA.
Time, I have destroyed the chumps. I have beat the chumps.
Bill PECOTA.
I am proud of this moment because you guys thought you knew it all. Hey, that's enough games. Right? I'm not cheating here. That's over 100 games
that's
that he
fine.
Played.
Yeah, that's
Atlanta
fine.
Braves.
That's totally fair.
All right, because you guys were guessing all around it. I was surprised you didn't get him. But
I wouldn't have gotten Bill PECOTA.
PECOTA. He batted .323 with no errors in 1993.
He's one of those
guys
I just forgot about. Honestly, I mean, and that's when I watched the Braves religiously. I mean, I grew up watching like every game. I forgot about that game.
He wasn't a starter. You know, I mean, TP was starting in there somewhere. I don't know how many games PECOTA actually started for the Braves. That's something I should probably like look at. But he definitely got into a lot of ball games. But that being said, he got into 72 ball games, and I think he only had like 65 plate appearances or something. So that means he was being used as a defensive sub a lot late in the game, you know. But 323 with no errors in 93, though. That's pretty good. That's not too crappy. Hey, that's going to do it for this week's Atlanta Braves Knockahoma Nation Braves-ish podcast. If you would like to support the show and help me to beat the chumps, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/knockahoma nation. You can join the nation, fight against the tyranny of Pocota-loving stat heads and crazy people that want to control your life. If you would like to get some Knockahoma swag, you can do that at shop.spreadshirt.com/knockahoma nation. We had a few t-shirts sell this last week. Somebody bought one that said JT, Josh, Ken, and Boggy on the shirt. Somebody bought it and is wearing your name today, Josh.
Wow.
Proudly.
God bless them.
Proud wearers of your name.
God bless them.
First of their kind. That's going to do it for today's show. Be safe out there. Wash your dang hands, Knockahoma. We love you.
Hey.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Knockahoma Nation is brought to you by Knockahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Knockahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.